Welcome to the Kindle Chronicles, a Friday podcast all about the Kindle. My name is Len Edgerly, and this is episode 30 for Friday the 13th in February 2009. I'm recording on Thursday afternoon in my home in downtown Denver because tomorrow, Friday, I will travel to Cheyenne, Wyoming for the Governor's Arts Awards and a chance to visit with the Governor Dave Friedenthal, who's been a friend of mine since long before he ran for office. So I'm looking forward to my first sleepover at the Governor's residence, and I'm going to try to talk Gov Dave into buying a Kindle 2, maybe as a Valentine's Day gift for his bookish and brilliant First Lady Nancy. Should be a fun trip. My guest for this week's interview is Joshua Topolsky, editor-in-chief of Engadget.com. I was in the lobby of a Hyatt Hotel in Albuquerque on Monday following the Kindle 2 press conference on my laptop computer, and Josh's live blogging was by far the best, I thought, of the several that I was following. He kept up a steady stream of text and photos from the event, so it was almost like being there. Since he is one of the very first civilians to get his hand on a Kindle 2, I'm sure you're going to be interested to hear his impressions of the product and his predictions for its success. In Kindle News, I will share tech critic Stephen King's review of the Kindle 2, along with some grumbling over the Kindle 2's lack of an SD card slot, and the single best Kindle 2 review I've found so far, thanks to a tip from Linda Hopkins. This week's tech tip may help you get over the fact that the Kindle 2 and the original Kindle's new firmware, 1.2, both failed to give us what most of us seem to want most, the ability to create user-defined folders for the Kindle's homepage. The Kindle quote this week is full of suspense and at least one strong word. It's from a Kindle-exclusive novella that I pre-ordered on Monday, and today I was thrilled to see that it had snuck onto my Kindle wirelessly in the scary hours of the night. I'll have comments from April Doris, David Emberson, Rebecca Robertson, Paul Higginbotham, Janet Williams, Randy Mohn, Al McDermid, Dan Myers, Greg Vann, Linda Hopkins, Mary McManus, and an audio comment from Alan Rosen. With that, let's turn to this week's Kindle News. As you'll hear in the interview with Josh Topolsky, Stephen King was not the main attraction when the press conference ended at the Morgan Library in New York City on February 9th. Everyone made a beeline to the four Kindle 2 demo units. Everyone, that is, except Edward C. Begg of USA Today, who did a very brief interview with the Uber best-selling author, who received a weirdly pink Kindle 2 in return for writing a Kindle-exclusive novella titled Ur, from which he read at the press conference. The USA Today interview, I'll share a couple of questions and answers. The first was, as a writer, how important is this new delivery system? To which King replied, "The delivery mechanism, to my mind, is secondary for me as a writer. That isn't necessarily true for people in the business end of it. But I did this once before with a story called Riding the Bullet, and I never had so many guys in suits come up to me and ask me questions. But they didn't want to know about the story. They didn't want to know about they didn't want to know about the process. They wanted to know about the delivery system, but to me that's secondary." And at the end of the interview, USA Today asked Stephen King, "What's your quick impression of the device?" And he established, I think, pretty good creds as a tech reviewer when he said simply, "I've had the new one for about a week, maybe 10 days. It's quicker. The text-to-speech option is terrific. If you're in a car, you can put on earphones. It's a little bit like a GPS voice, you know, the navigation in your car. But it's got a lot of kind of nice features. Also, it doesn't slide out of the carrying case anymore. One of the things that interested me about it was clearly the people who do this gadget listened to people when they bitched about what was wrong, and they fixed most of it." King was not apparently among those who felt that the Kindle 2's lack of an SD card slot seriously detracts from the appeal of the new version. There was a lot of chatter about this on the Amazon forum, and I sort of get it, but mainly I don't. To me, all of the changes in the Kindle 2 seem to be wisely driven by increasing clarity about what the Kindle is, a book reader, or a reader of periodicals and newspapers. It's not a music player, it's not a web browsing device, and this seems to me evident in the slogans that they use to announce the Kindle 2, Rediscover Reading with Kindle, and Go Beyond the Book, the new Kindle from Amazon, still amazing, only better. One note about shipments on the Kindle 2, I just noticed that the estimated shipment date for the Kindle that I ordered on January 26 has been changed. It had been March 3rd through 10th, and now it's been moved up to February 25th. I decided to go all in, so I ordered a new Kindle for my wife on Monday, so I've got two of the Kindle 2s on the way. The delivery date for the one which I ordered on Monday is February 26th. So one way or the other, I'm going to have my hands on a new Kindle in less than 2 weeks. I suspect most of you, like I have been following reviews of the Kindle 2, but I will point you toward one that I thought was particularly insightful. This was referred to me by Linda Hopkins. Lance Ulanoff, who is editor-in-chief of PC Magazine, on February 10th wrote a thorough, sane review of what he called the good, the bad, and the ugly in this elemental 21st century device. If you're on the fence and don't want to be pushed over toward placing an order, I recommend that you don't read this article. He goes through a list of 10 criticisms of the Kindle 2, from it's too expensive, to it only does one thing, to ebooks will kill books publishing and reading. His answer to the last one I thought was particularly good, and it's as follows. Bezos's presentation featured testimonials from Kindle 2 users saying that they read now more than ever. I buy this. I often leave heavy books and past issues of my favorite magazine, The New Yorker, which is now available on the Kindle, at home because I simply can't carry all of them. Plus, I only read what I have on hand. In addition, I tend to end up in the same sections at Barnes & Noble buying the same kinds of books over and over. I can imagine that the Kindle, with its instant access to a vast number of books, over 230,000, would expand my reading horizons. As for the Kindle killing books or publishing, I think I have to side with author Stephen King, who gave a reading of his new Kindle-inspired novella at the event. He said, "Ebooks and books are not in conflict. They're like peanut butter and chocolate. When you put them together, you have a whole new taste." And Lance continues his review by saying, "So yes, there are many reasons to dislike the Amazon Kindle 2, but as I see it, the benefits still far outweigh the advantages. Trust me, you are going to want a Kindle 2." This week's tech tip has to do with something which wasn't included with the Kindle 2 announcement, and that's folders on the homepage. So you can find out how we will be able to organize material on the Kindle 2 by looking at the user's guide, which has been posted at amazon.com/Kindle. If you scroll down to technical details and look for documentation, you'll find the PDF file, and you can email that to your current Kindle for reading. I'll have a link to that on the show notes. On page 29 of the user's guide, you'll see that the top of the Kindle 2's home screen will let you see the show options setting on the left and the sort options on the right. On the original Kindle, you have to use the scroll wheel to select show and sort to see these settings. And the show options that we currently have are show all, show books only, and show periodicals only. The Kindle 2 will have one more option, personal docs, and I'm assuming that that will show things which I move to my Kindle with the email translation link or perhaps downloads from the USB cable. So this may not exactly be user-defined folders, but it will add one new way to see content on the Kindle. And I have to wonder if a future firmware update might add this same show and sort interface to the original Kindle's home screen. And I still haven't given up hope that there may be a user-defined folders option in some kind of an update soon. But in the meantime, I've explored the existing sort options, and I wanted to share a couple of possibilities with you. I usually use the most recent first setting as a way to sort the material on my home screen, so that whatever I've read most recently shows up at the top of my screen. But for a change of pace, you can try the sort by title or sort by author settings. And what's cool about them is that you can go directly to a title on your home screens by typing a few letters on the keyboard. For example, on the fourth of my 7 pages of home screens, I have an item that appears as Lewis Carroll Complete ... That's part of my mobile reference collection of classics that resides on my SD card. If I press the home key on my keyboard, bringing me to the first page of the home screens, I have to press the next bar 4 times to get to that book because it's on the fourth page. But as an alternative, if I press the letter L, the display automatically goes to page 4 and then I can click on the book. You can type 2 letters of what you're looking for to get a more precise move to an item. For example, I have Mark Twain appearing on page 4 of my home screens and Moby Pocket Guide on page 5. If from the first page I type the letter M, I'll still end up on page 4 where the M entries start, but if I type MO in quick succession, it takes me to page 5 where the Moby Pocket item is. This sort of navigation is the same for the sort by author setting. So that's while you're waiting for folders to appear, this is something which you might find helpful. Joshua Topolsky took over as editor-in-chief of the Engadget.com tech blog last year, and he is part of the informative, irreverent Engadget podcast, a roughly hour-long audio podcast presented each week with his fellow Engadget editors. As it happens, Josh was profiled on Tuesday at geeksugar.com in their Geeks We Love feature. It's a fun piece in which Josh is described as nebbishly cool and the definition of geek chic. What I admire about him is that he's already had his hands on a Kindle too, and that's what we talked about yesterday when I reached him by phone at his Engadget office in New York City. I began by asking him how much time he actually had trying out the Kindle 2 after the formal presentation at the press conference.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I feel like Amazon kind of was badly set up for online journalists and bloggers because, you know, the first thing we want to do after an event is run up and get our hands on and start taking pictures. But they only had about maybe 4 actual units at the press conference. So at first, we didn't get a lot of time with it, but we kind of hung around for a while, and we eventually got one to sort of sit with and play around with for maybe 10 minutes or so. So a pretty good amount of time considering, you know, how little has changed between the two. So we got a chance to check out quite a few of the new features.
How many people were at the press conference, roughly?
I would say there were probably, you know, probably maybe 100 people, 100, I'd say about 100, 125. I mean, it was all journalists, a lot of big news agencies there. So
were they all?
It was a small theater. So yeah.
Were all of them trying to get their hands on the 4 Kindles?
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's what happened is as soon as we got up from the press conference, from the actual unveiling and launch of it, which was down in the basement of the Morgan Library in New York, we went upstairs and they had a few up there where everybody just sort of kind of rushed them. The interesting thing about that was that Stephen King was up there as well. Oh. And just hanging around, and everybody was so, I think, in such a rush to get to the Kindles that a lot of people didn't actually notice. I didn't. Somebody told me that he was standing up there sort of hanging out, and I didn't even realize it until he'd already left because, you know, we were all, you know, we were there for the Kindle.
Basically. Yeah, yeah. He was getting upstaged by a character in his book.
Yeah, kind of. It was a little bizarre.
Huh. Now, have you been a Kindle user yourself? Do you own one and have been reading on one before the new release?
Well, actually, I am sort of a new Kindle owner. Of course, a lot of people at Engadget have them, and we've been covering the original Kindle for quite some time. When the original Kindle came out, I was kind of put off by its design, and it never really struck me as something that I felt like I needed or wanted. We actually have my wife and I have a huge collection of books, and I always have a book here that I haven't read. So I thought, well, I don't really need the Kindle. But lately, very recently, I started looking at it in comparison to some of the leaked photos that we'd seen of the new Kindle, mm-hmm. And it dawned on me that I really kind of liked the design. It was one of those weird situations where you think you don't like something, you're convinced of it, and then one day it just kind of strikes you that you say, wow, you know what, actually, my mind has changed about that. So I just got one recently, and I've been using it. You know, I feel like there's something very distinctive about the original design, and they've lost a little bit of that with the new design.
Do you still think you prefer the slider to the new joystick?
Well, I'll say this. The new joystick is actually, the five-way is much more useful on the new Kindle. You can actually, you know, it allows you to really move through pages word by word and line by line, whereas you could only do line by line with the slider.
Right.
I think the slider is, or roller, is a weird, cool little, like one of those weird details of the original. But I think at the end of the day, and when it comes to usability, the five-way makes a lot more sense.
One thing I always heard from people is that they hope the new version would allow them to organize content on the home screen in folders. but it doesn't look like that's part of the new software.
Yeah, not that we saw. I mean, the thing about the software is they haven't made a lot of huge changes. They've made a lot of little changes. And, you know, they've done things like the definitions now appear along the bottom of the screen when you're moving through text, which is a huge improvement, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's minor in terms of, you know, the UI hasn't really changed that much. The way you organize stuff hasn't changed that much. Mm-hmm. They've just sort of tweaked a few little things here and there.
Now, was it 16 shades of gray compared to the 4? Can you notice that, like when you had an original versus a new one and just a page of text, was the text more visible or clear on the new one because of that increase in the number of gray shades?
You know, I definitely overheard some people commenting that they thought that the text was clearer on the new ones, but to my eyes, the text really seemed about the same to me in terms of just black on white text. Mm-hmm. You could definitely tell a difference when you looked at an image.
Sure.
You know, if you're reading a newspaper or a magazine and had some images in it, you could definitely see a noticeable difference in the image quality. And on that note, I'm also told, I didn't actually get a chance to play with this, but apparently on the new one, you can zoom in on illustrations on pages, and you can't do that on the old one, so from my understanding.
Well, actually, with
which
the
I think
new,
it's been a big help.
Yeah, with the new upgrade they sent out, the 1.2 firmware, you can do that on the originals as well.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I got the firmware. I haven't had a chance to play around with it too much, so...
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I need to check that out. Okay, well then, so that sort of levels that. But I know that Ross Rubin, who does a column for us, was really excited because he was saying that he didn't have the ability to do it on the old one. But I know they were going to push some of these features to the old Kindles as well. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, have you heard if there's any likely to be any further firmware upgrades to the original Kindle now that the new one is out?
I know that the PR people who were there said that they would be pushing an update when the new one actually started shipping, which is on February 24th.
I see.
But I'm not sure if they were just had their facts wrong, if there's more updates on the way, or if they've already made the updates they're going to make on the older model. I know they're not adding text to speech. There's a few things that I know they're not going to change. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not going to change how the definitions are handled, unless they have a system worked out that we don't know about. I mean, they certainly could fudge it a little bit, I guess, maybe using the keypad. But so I don't know if they're going to push out more updates beyond what they've already done.
Yeah, some of that stuff would be dependent on the hardware, because with the... the wheel bar, you couldn't actually get a cursor over a word and then bring up the definition at the bottom of the screen.
Unless there was some way, like maybe you hold down shift and use the roller to move across a line, which actually, now that I say it out loud, makes a total sense, and I don't know why they didn't implement that somehow.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it would be possible when you think about it. If you get on a line, you hold hold shift or one of the other keys, and it goes... you know, scrolls across instead of up and down.
Yeah.
Maybe I should talk to Amazon about this. See if I can.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people that, you know, particularly ones that bought the original one just recently, the more they could make the software on the new one be the same, that would probably result in some happier original buyers.
I mean, one thing is for sure, if you bought the Kindle 2 months ago, or you got it for Christmas, and this came out, you're probably pretty upset.
Yeah.
you know, because, I mean, there was a huge rush to get them for the holidays, mm-hmm. With no indication. We'd seen some shots we saw shots of this exact model, but we hadn't heard anything official at all on it. And so I can imagine, I mean, it would be really great if they push out as many of these updates as they can to the original, because, I mean, ultimately, they're still going to sell a ton of the new ones,
mm-hmm.
but certainly for people who've just gotten, or even had for a while, the older model, it would be nice to see some of this functionality show up. I don't think it's beyond the capability of the hardware in many cases.
Yeah. Do you have any sense of whether this one's going to sell out the minute February 24th comes around, like the other one did?
I think that they'll probably sell through this one pretty quickly. I think that this actually probably hits the sweet spot for a lot of people more than the original did. The design is just, I mean, the design is totally streamlined. It's a really familiar looking design. You know, it's almost like, in a way, it's almost like a giant iPhone. It's got a similar shape to it. Even the back of it kind of looks like the old version of the iPhone, the first gen iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that people are going to be a little more comfortable with the design. The five-way rocker makes a lot more sense for most users, probably. The roller is actually kind of a weird way to interact.
Yeah.
And I think they've just added a bunch of new little tweaks and features that will make this more attractive. I mean, I think the text-to-speech thing is kind of a big deal for a lot of people. I think people see that as a real interesting development. There's been a little bit of controversy about it today.
Some copyright issues.
On whether it's infringing on authors' copyrights and the copyrights of books on tape. So, I mean, that's an interesting, or audiobooks, I should say, not books on tape. That's mm-hmm. kind of a dated way to think about it. But I do think that there are noticeable changes in this version that will make it more attractive to a larger audience.
Yeah. There was, in the manual that's online, it talked about how the power adapter is international and could go worldwide. Do you have any sense of how soon they're going to start being able to open up the international markets?
Well, we don't have any hard information on it, but when we spoke to the Amazon people at the press event, they said that they are working on international. They have, you know, they have plans for rolling this out. But there's no solid information on it right now, so we're just kind of wait and see with that. I have to imagine that I don't think they're gonna wait too long to start getting this into other markets. If they want to do what they say they want to do with it, you know, which is have every book in the world ever published available on the Kindle, I think they need to get it into other markets pretty quickly.
Did you hear anybody talking about the next version of the Kindle that supposedly is going to have a larger screen and might be good for textbooks?
I've heard rumors about this other version. Mm-hmm. You know, is it going to be the Kindle 3, or is this actually just going to be some kind of different version of
I always
the current
thought,
one?
I always assumed Kindle 3 just meant like the next version of the one we're talking about, but I have heard reports of a Kindle that has a larger screen, not quite 8x10, but significantly larger than the current screen size, that would be aimed at textbooks. And from what I heard, it may be ready to go, and so they could introduce it fairly quickly.
Well, besides rumors, we haven't heard anything solid about that.
Yeah.
Though I do think, I do think one of the hurdles with this, with the current Kindle is, So much of the device isn't screen,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of talk from Amazon about wanting to make the Kindle disappear. Right, you're just reading a book.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that one of the things they have, it's working against it a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, is that there's so little of the device is actually used for screen.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of space on there. I'd love to see a version, and I know a lot of people would. With that's more screen. I mean, you've seen obviously the plastic logic reader that they've been showing off,
sure.
which is a touch screen, and it's pretty much edge to edge screen. And that I think is going to be the direction that these kinds of devices take once they get refresh rates up with e-ink, because I think that's really the thing that's stopping them from doing maybe a touch screen interface or something like this, is that you just can't get the refresh rate fast enough to make it very usable.
Yeah, exactly. How does Jeff Bezos compare with Steve Jobs in terms of on-stage presence? This is kind of a similar event to what Jobs would do at Macworld Expo.
Yeah, I mean, actually, this was sort of what I was talking about at the beginning of. Well, I mean, Bezos is he's good. Mm-hmm. He's not. It's not. Jobs is very enigmatic. He's kind of larger than life and very theatrical. I think Jeff is less theatrical and very much sort of a matter of fact kind of guy, which works in this instance. I think for talking about what he's talking about with the device,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a showman, I would say.
He's
so it wasn't quite like an Apple event.
Well, now, are you a Stephen King fan?
I actually really do like Stephen King, and I have a lot of affection for his work. Even though, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people feel like he's a little bit outside of, you know, Stephen King has kind of a stigma as being this really commercial,
yeah,
sort of, you know, everybody loves Stephen King. But I think that he's done some stuff that's really pretty interesting.
I agree.
It was really kind of mind-blowing when he came out. I mean, we'd heard rumors that there was going to be some sort of deal with Stephen King, and I made an offhand joke to one of the other editors. I said, oh, do you think he's going to be here? And sure enough, you know, he came out. The thing that was interesting about Stephen King is, you know, his story, which is the book that's on that's made for the
right.
Kindle, it's basically about a Kindle.
Yeah.
So I commented about this when I was doing the live blog that he read a part of it, and it was basically Stephen King reading on a Kindle, about a story that was basically centered around a Kindle.
Yeah.
So it was a little strange, and the story definitely felt like, I mean, look, it doesn't hurt to have Stephen King write a story about your device.
Yeah,
probably.
Exactly.
And I don't know how much that was his impulse to write a story about the Kindle, or how much it was, money or...
Well, he got a new Kindle out of it, it sounds like.
Right, I was going to say, maybe that he really just wanted a new Kindle. And I'm sure, and I'll bet the story is pretty entertaining. It was just a little bizarre. It's almost like a songwriter or a singer. It'd be like if Bruce Springsteen wrote an album about an iPod.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you wouldn't
incredible.
Expect that. It would seem a little strange to you. But what a great endorsement for the Kindle. You know, Stephen King, here's a guy who's written, you know, scores of books.
Yeah.
Totally, you know, widely respected, you know, probably, what is it, he's probably the best-selling author ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, oh, I love the Kindle. I like it so much, I wrote a story about it. It's a hell of an endorsement for the product. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I think after Oprah and Stephen King, about the only thing that would be better is when it turns out that Obama's using one.
Yeah, it's like the BlackBerry. You know, if we knew that Obama had a Kindle, I mean, that would just complete the circle. And hey, look, I would not be surprised at all to see him.
I wouldn't either. I mean, it'd be a natural.
You know, I mean, look, yeah, exactly. I mean, he's obviously like a kind of a techie guy and into having technology around him. It wouldn't surprise me at all to hear that he's a Kindle user. I think this is going to be. I think this new version of the Kindle has started to really. I feel now that there's going to be a real place for this product out there. I think before it was kind of like the device itself was a little weird. It was popular with, you know, it's been popular, but I feel like it didn't quite have the really broad commercial appeal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, happening yet. And with the new version, I think it's got the look, it's got the feature improvements, and obviously the celebrity endorsements now to really start to get it in the eye of your average book reader.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, at the end of the day, it encourages people to actually be reading. I mean, one of the things that Bezos was talking about was that it encourages, you know, he wants to encourage people to read long form,
yeah,
you know, to read books. And I honestly believe that's what he's after, and I think that's a good thing. So it'll be interesting to see this product start to really take shape on a broader scale.
That's great. Anything else that was interesting or fun at the event?
Well, I have to say they picked the right place for it. The Morgan Library, which is actually, they have a lot of archives there. In fact, I'm not even sure that you can, it's not really a traditional library.
Uh-huh.
It's more like a vault for important manuscripts. It's a pretty stunning place, and they couldn't have picked a better place to do it. And if they want to make a connection between the historical connection, you know, he mentioned Gutenberg, and I think that there was a real effort to make the connection between that there's a lineage, mm-hmm, from traditional books to a device like the Kindle. I think they definitely cemented that, or at least made a great case for it, with the location and the kind of topics they stayed on when they were discussing it. you know, it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. I think that what now is going to happen is Amazon is going to discover there's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Who knows? It'd be great to see some of the big guys get in this game and not just have it be a one-man show. So I'm interested to see if we, you know, Steve Jobs famously made some sort of outlandish statement, I think, around the launch of the last one, that nobody reads books anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been proven wrong on that. It'll be interesting to see if how far, you know, a company like Apple may go in this direction, or any of the other big players. And also, I mean, I think the question is still out there as to whether or not people are going to adopt Amazon's, you know, Kindle books system. You know, are we going to see other Kindle compatible devices?
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting, and I think that would probably help this movement along a little bit. But at this point, I don't know. It's anybody's guess. So, I mean, the one thing I can tell you is they'll probably sell out of the new Kindle.
Yeah.
You know, that's definitely going to happen.
Did you order one?
I have not ordered one yet because I'm going to be getting a review unit.
Oh, good.
So I'm kind of holding off because I know I'm going to get one to be looking at more in depth. I'm hoping maybe if they send a review unit, if I really like it, they'll let me hang on to it and I can just give them my credit card number or something.
I want to thank Josh for the interview and recommend both Engadget, which is a terrific source of information, and it's very irreverent and fun, but informed. It's these guys know what they're doing, and they have fun doing it. And that's also clearly the case with the Engadget podcast, which you can find at the iTunes store. As Joshua noted, Stephen King's appearance at the Kindle 2 press conference was a big moment, and I happily pre-ordered a copy of the Kindle exclusive novella, which King wrote about a Kindle. It showed up on my homepage this morning, so I want to read you the beginning of it. When Wesley Smith's colleagues asked him, some with a eyebrow hoiked satirically, what he was doing with that gadget — they all called it a gadget — he told them he was experimenting with new technology, but that was not true. He bought the gadget, which was called a Kindle, out of spite. I wonder if the market analysts at Amazon even have that one on their product survey radar, he thought. He guessed not. This gave him some satisfaction, but not as much as he hoped to derive from Ellen Silverman's surprise when she saw him with his new purchase. That hadn't happened yet, but it would. It was a small campus, after all, and he'd only been in possession of his new toy — he called it his new toy, at least to begin with — for a week. Wesley was an instructor in the English department at Moore College in Moore, Kentucky. Like all instructors of English, he thought he had a novel in him somewhere and would write it someday. Moore College was the sort of institution that people call a, quote, good school. Wesley's friend in the English department, his only friend in the English department, once explained what that meant. His friend's name was Don Allman, and when he introduced himself, he liked to say, one of the Allman brothers, I play a mean tuba. He did not actually play anything. A good school, he said, is one nobody has ever heard of outside a 30-mile radius. People call it a good school because nobody knows it's a bad school, and most people are optimists, although they may claim they are not. People who call themselves realists are often the biggest optimists of all. Does that make you a realist? Wesley once asked him. I think the world is mostly populated by shitheads, Don Allman responded. You figure it out. That's the Kindle quote this week from the opening of by Stephen King. We've got lots of Kindle comments this week, so I'll jump right in with the first one from April, who on February 9th emailed before the Kindle 2 release, I want to order a new one, but I think I'm going to hold off. They increased the hard drive but took away the SD card slot. I do put my audiobooks on the Kindle, so that may become an issue. It looks fantastic. Knowing me, I'll have ordered it by the end of the day. She is having a continuing struggle over whether to buy the Kindle 2. On February 12th, April wrote, Len, I am continuing to fight off the urge. I change my mind every day, 2 to 3 times a day. I may wait until I've had the K1 for at least a year, which is in July. In the meantime, I'm going to keep on reading using the K1. I do wonder, for people that have had problems in the past and Amazon has replaced the units, if they will continue to do that for the K1, considering they are now selling K2. I haven't had any problems, but I do worry about that. I've heard from a number of other people, too, that it's fun to see people trying to weigh the pros and cons of ordering a Kindle 2, and I get the feeling most people that are in that uncertainty end up ordering one. I wrote to David Emberson, sent him an email. He's the author of the excellent Kindle Cookbook Guide, because I hope to upgrade to the third version that he has posted on the Kindle store. And I ran into some difficulties, so he wrote back and said, "Hi, Len, I have an ongoing discussion with the DTP, Digital Text Platform Administrator, about this bug or feature," depending on who's talking. "Amazon's position is that highlights and annotations are stored in the user's digital library, so they must be associated with a specific edition of the book. So the only way to download the latest version is to call Amazon customer service, have the book deleted from your digital library, and then the purchase price refunded to you, then download the book again. I pointed out to them that there should be a way to override this and get the latest edition from the Manager Kindle page, but so far they have not responded." So I tried that, but when I called Amazon, they said that they couldn't give me a refund on the earlier version of Dave's book because I had owned it for more than 2 weeks. He passed that along to one of his readers, Mary Beth Dawson, who wrote, "I would have him try the email route, and maybe a few times if he has to, including your paragraph describing what needs to be done. My response," Mary Beth writes, "from them," meaning Kindle, "also had the canned 'items can be returned for refund within 2 weeks of purchase message, but they also added their own message saying that they would take care of it, and I got email notification when the refund was credited. I think you just need to get a rep who is experienced enough to understand and do what needs to be done. If you're on the phone, you could probably try asking to escalate it to a supervisor. And again, you might need to provide a link to this discussion. Hopefully they will get this worked out internally before too long. Mary Beth Dawson." I tried the email route too, and so far I haven't heard back. Dave wrote again to me saying, "I suggested to the DTP administrator that a button should be added to the Manager Kindle page that would download the latest edition of a Kindle book, deleting the bookmarks and annotations. I do not know if the DTP administrator is working on a fix or not, as I have not received a reply. Regards, Dave Emberson." So this looks like an ongoing opportunity to tweak and improve the digital text platform, which I think is really a great option for authors. And it will be terrific when they figure out a way to fix it with convenient access to updates of books that are available on the DTP. Rebecca Robertson on February 8th emailed, "Hi, Len. I went to Book People in Austin on Friday night to listen to Brian Burrow talk about his new book, The Big Rich. While I was waiting for him, I downloaded the free sample and began reading the book on my Kindle. It created quite a stir in the audience when they saw I had a Kindle. So many people came over to my row and wanted to see it, including the author who had never seen one. I don't know if reading on the Kindle in a bookstore is politically correct or not, but I sure enjoyed the attention. I think 4 or 5 people probably went home and ordered one that night. I told them a new version would be out and the announcement would be on Monday. Some asked if I was going to buy the newest version, and I said no, as this one worked fine for me. I drive a 2004 car and don't see any reason to buy a new car every year," was my reply. "The only problem was, after the talk, I could not get an autograph from Brian on my copy. I did end up buying the book and have been reading it this weekend. It is a very good book, and even non-Texans would enjoy it. Rebecca, Austin, Texas." I've come across that problem before. What do you do at a book signing when you read everything on a Kindle? My thought is that it would be a good possible product for somebody like M. Edge, who does the leather holders. I could see a leather notebook of author signatures, and the cover of it could say authors whose books I've read on the Kindle, and then you could take that to your reading. So this is an opportunity for someone to come up with a product. Paul Higginbotham on February 11th emailed, "Hi, Len. On your last podcast, you mentioned that Joe Weichert was looking for some writers to take over his Kindleville blog. I took a chance and contacted him, fearing it would be too late since I didn't listen to your podcast until Monday. But he responded and invited me to participate. I sent a draft of a post for the blog, and he liked it enough to make me a contributor. My first post, Kindle 2.0, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, is already up at Kindleville, and the comments are coming in. Without your announcement, I would have missed that chance. Thanks a million. Also, if you're ever hurting for a guest and would like an official Kindle blogger on your podcast, I'd be happy to oblige. Thanks again, Paul Higginbotham." I'll have some links in the show notes to Paul's. Now he has two posts at Kindleville, so that was a great connection. I'm glad that he heard about it on the podcast and is now part of the I think there are three people that are writing for Kindleville. And I've definitely got Paul on my list for future prospects for interviews, now that he's an official Kindle blogger. Janet Williams on February 6 wrote, "Just read your email and decided to turn my Kindle on to see if it would happen for me, and it is downloading the update now as I type. Love automatically downloaded updates, even if 1.04 to 1.2 is not major or dramatically different. Hope you hear from a lot of other Kindle lovers too. Janet H. Williams, Norwalk, Connecticut." I did hear from lots of people that had the automatic upgrade to 1.0, including Randy Moan on February 6th, who wrote, "I had put my Kindle in sleep mode and set it aside to leave the room briefly. When I returned 5 to 10 minutes later, I had a blank screen. I picked it up and soon saw that it was going through the boot sequence. Yesterday, I had checked the settings and saw that my version was 1.1. When I checked after the reboot, I had version 1.2 of the firmware. So the switch is on. I have just one Kindle on my account, Randy." Alan McDermott wrote February 8th, "Len, my Kindle updated Saturday. I went and tried the graphic zoom feature that some are talking about, and it enlarges the picture, cannot zoom around in it that I can see, and it has only one step. Roll the scroll wheel up until the graphic is selected, click the scroll wheel and it gets bigger. Click again and it goes back to normal. It does help a little, unless you are looking for something close to the edge of a map, for example, that goes off the screen. Maybe with the Kindle 2, the joystick will allow one to scroll around, purely speculative. I checked the experimental page and it now has just the basic web and play music as reported elsewhere, Al." Dan Myers also liked the zoom figure in 1.2, and he said there's been a few images with text that were tough to read. He also added, "Maybe a lot of us are getting a little grumpy until we see the new Kindle, but would it kill them to include a couple-page release note, only docs on it are the 4 or 5 sentences on the Amazon webpage? In any case, me and my Kindle are all set for Kindle 2.0. Greg Van on February 12th wrote, "After about 2 hours after I got the email from Amazon, I ordered the 2.0. Luckily, my wife asked me to so that she could take the 1.0. The thing I am most curious about is the speech function. Have you heard from anyone who has actually used it? If it is too mechanical, like a lot of those applications that claim to turn text to speech, I won't be inclined to use it. I would appreciate your passing on any info you have on this subject in your podcast. Greg Van." So, Greg, I found there's a piece of the speech from text on one of the Amazon videos at amazon.com/Kindle. And I'll play it for you now just so that you can hear it and decide for yourself if it's sort of irritatingly mechanical sounding.
"With Kindle's new text-to-speech function, you can switch from reading to listening on the fly.
Enclosed spaces were one thing. Cramped enclosed spaces were another. He wasn't claustrophobic, more a sense of freedom denied. He tolerated it in the past, having..."
So I think it sounds pretty good for a mechanical voice, but that's a sample of it. And I guess you can choose a woman's voice, and you can also adjust the speeds with which that text-to-speech feature works on the new Kindle 2. Linda Hopkins is one of the people that wrote saying that she had ordered a Kindle 2. She said, "I placed my order. If I were a sane person, I wouldn't have done it since I own a fine Kindle right now. However, it was too much to resist. Since I love my current Kindle, I'm hoping I will love the new one even more. Good news for you, I placed my order by clicking on the hyperlink on your website. You might want to check the hyperlink, though. It took me to a Kindle 1 page instead of the new Kindle 2 page, so I've got to fix that. Shipping estimate for my Kindle is March 2. Happy Kindle 2 Day, Linda." Linda's talking about the Associates button that's on the show notes page, and if you do purchase a Kindle by using that, I get a little benefit that helps with some of the expenses of the podcast, so feel free to try that if you'd like. Mary McManus on February 11th emailed, "Did you know that there are now 2 Kindle forums on Amazon, the original one and now one for K2? I've been amazed by the amount of negativity toward the K2, some acting as if it were a personal vendetta of Amazon to bring out a new one 3 months after they bought one. Mine is 13 months old. And some are apprehensive about the non-removable battery and not having an SD slot. Neither is a concern to me, since my iPods just perk along with that kind of battery forever. The increased storage sounds good, as do the choices for organizing one's homepage. No user-defined folders, which is a gripe of many, but the new organization sounds like a step forward. Until we hear the text-to-speech, I don't know how long I can deal with an electronic voice. But many have commented positively that it would be helpful to have the voice reading along with their children who have reading difficulties, dyslexia for one. I downloaded the K2 manual, both the PDF and the AZW files, and I put it on my K1. I read it cover to cover, totally engrossed, and was very impressed not only with the K2 but with the software upgrade for the K1, which allowed me to zoom up all the diagrams, which were very clear and bright. I'm eagerly anticipating delivery of my K2 on February 25th due to next day delivery. And finally, I want to play an audio comment from Alan Rosen from Gunnison, Colorado.
Yeah, Len, this is Alan Rosen, Gunnison, Colorado. And I just listened to your podcast for the first time. I just ordered the second generation Kindle on Monday, so I immediately went to look for podcasts on it and found yours, and I'm going to start going through the back issues. Hey, good show, good voice. I like your editing. I'm a total podcast fiend, so I think you've got one of the better ones. I'm looking at mid-next month for getting that new Kindle. Am I a sucker for ordering that extended warranty? I usually do for laptops and stuff, but I don't know about this appliance. Good show, though. Thanks, man.
Good question, Alan. I considered that extended warranty myself because my original Kindle had to be returned for placement. In fact, that happened a couple of times. But I decided that the new one looks sturdier and that within a year when the existing warranty that comes with it runs out, I'll probably be ready to buy whatever Amazon serves up next. So I decided against going with that extended warranty. Appreciate the comment. And if you too can leave an audio comment the way Alan did, by calling 206-666-2713. I forget who mentioned picking up the idea that I prefer audio comments. I love the text comments too. It's just there's some variety to having some audio comments each show. So I encourage anybody that would like to give that a try to call that number, 206-666-2713, and leave me a brief comment. That would be fun. You can also email me at podchronicles@gmail.com or leave a comment on the show notes page, which is the kindlechronicles.com. If you'd like to be included in my Kindle Chronicles email alert list, please drop me an email at podchronicles@gmail.com. What happens is I send the people on that list an email as soon as I upload a new show, and also occasional alerts on late-breaking Kindle news that I might come across. I'm pretty sure that my next guest for next week will be someone from Amazon. I received an email from the communications department yesterday saying we would be happy to come on the show at some point, perhaps just before ship on 2/24. Now, I'm not sure who the we is, but I'm sure it will be someone interesting to talk to, with particularly with the Kindle 2 just about to ship. I suggested an interview on Monday, but so far I haven't heard back with details. And but that'd be great if next week we can actually, for the first time, hear someone from Amazon on the podcast. Music for my podcast is Ramonk by Eval Monagat on the Variations in Time, a Jazz Perspective CD by Public Transit Recording, courtesy of IODA Promonet. This is Len Edgerly from downtown Denver for the Kindle Chronicles, reminding you to read different. I really appreciate your taking the time to listen to my podcast. Have a great day. Bye.